Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for A Point to Ponder, part of our Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast right here on our website. Once again, I thank you. I applaud you. I commend you for taking time out of the busyness of our lives, your life and mine, amen, to gather together around the Word of God, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to all of us as His children, and what God is speaking by His Spirit, by His Word, and through clay vessels like myself, amen, a great company that He has called and anointed to go and tell the good news of the grace of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all the world, wherever you are in the world, that God has brought you to our website today. I don't believe that it's an accident. I believe you're here by divine appointment to hear and to give heed to the warning that God has if you're not a Christian, and the encouragement to keep the faith if you are a Christian today. Amen. And the point to ponder that I want to bring today is the terrible future of those who reject Jesus Christ. Now, you have to know in order to reject. You have to know the gospel. You have to have heard it to reject it. You have to have had an exposure to the truth of God's great love, in the fact that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, and Christ's great love for us, in that He stayed on that cross in order to pay our sin debt in full. So if we know that to be true, and we choose, because the devil has got us so involved in some habit, so some sensual, sinful practice to gratify our flesh, that we would rather choose that practice, that temptation given into that sin of the flesh. We would choose that over the offer of God's forgiveness and the eternal life we will have with Him in heaven. And in so doing, choose hell over heaven, the devil over Jesus, and darkness over light. Friend of mine, this is a time to make the right choice. If you've made the wrong choice, I want you to know, before we get into this, there's still time. You're alive, you're breathing today, and you are hearing this message today. Amen. And I want you to know, you probably won't hear it in many churches anymore, but you need to hear it, because whether people are still preaching it or teaching it, the Bible is clear about this. We're going to face Christ as our Savior, and we're going to love seeing the face of Him that has loved us enough to die for us, and to see the great God who sits upon the throne, amen, who loved us enough to give His Son, and not be in terror and fear of judgment, but to be so happy that Jesus has come to rescue us from the wrath to come. Praise God. Or we're going to face Jesus as our judge, and God as our judge, and we will not escape the sure judgment to come. The wrath of God and the final judgment are the most terrible events that are possibly imagined, because they have eternal consequences. This is not, you know, one of these life sentences, because you never die. Amen. The spirit will never die, and the body is going to be resurrected of the wicked, according to Revelation chapter 20. You could read it. That we will be cast alive, in the sense that our body and spirit are reunited into the lake of fire, with the false prophet, with the devil and his fallen angels, with the Antichrist. And it is a forever done thing. There's no repentance in hell. However, there are degrees of punishment in hell. And I want us to establish that as a point to ponder today. Today, if you are a backslider, if you've known the way, or if you've known the way and you've never came to Christ as your Savior, but you know you should, and you're putting off that vital decision, and yet you know in your heart of hearts that you're only a heartbeat away from where you're going to spend eternity. Should your heart stop, and it all stop, there is no second chance. There is no in-between. Amen. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Amen. Listen today. This is an important message. I'm not trying to scare anyone into the kingdom of God. But the Bible said, by faith, Noah, moved by fear, built an ark. He believed that a judgment was coming, and God told him how to escape that judgment to come. And out of fear of the judgment to come, he, by faith that it was actually coming and God's word was true, he built an ark to the saving of himself and his household. Amen. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the day that the Son of Man cometh. And friend, he's coming soon. I want you and I want me to face him when he comes as my sovereign and my Savior, not as my judge. Amen. Listen, friend, today God loves you enough that he gave his Son for you. And there is a consequence to rejecting this kind of love and this kind of grace and this kind of opportunity. There's a Latin term, carpe diem, and it means seize the day. It means take hold of every opportunity that you have before it is too late. Seize the day. This should be a day of salvation if you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you are a Christian, you should dig in, amen, deeper in your commitment to keep the faith. For we're made partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. They that endure to the end, this pressure to compromise, this pressure to go along with the flow of this world away from God instead of respond to this call to God and to get closer to God. We need to endure those temptations and escape the wrath to come. We've been warned clearly in Scripture. One of the things that's missing in many ministries today, churches today, and pulpits today, is the ministry of warning, the message of warning. John the Baptist was clear when those religious leaders who came down to really chide him, how dare you preach what you're preaching and get this crowd without running it through our committee, without our blessing and our agreement. They came down pretending they wanted to be baptized unto repentance, and he saw what they were up to. And they were the religionists of the day, the high-ranking scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. And he said, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? These people are being baptized because they believe there is a day of judgment coming and they want their sins forgiven. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Amen. Friend, that ministry of warning is essential to being convicted of our sin, to turning from the darkness and running to the light, not continuing to dabble in the darkness, to give place to the devil, to go ahead deeper, deeper, deeper into rebellion against God and His call to salvation and sanctification. Listen very clearly what the Scripture said about this. To reject God's offer, I want to make a statement, to reject God's offer to save is also to reject His Son's sacrifice. On the cross, when He shed His blood, and the terrible future of those who reject Christ, along with the torment and pain of eternal banishment and punishment, it'll be made worse when anyone remembers all the opportunities to be saved that were rejected. It's not too late. Because you're hearing this today, you have breath in your lungs. You have the opportunity to make a decision. I'll tell you, the devil may have many chains of habit. He may many sins that have wrapped you up in. It could be drugs, sexual addictions, all kinds of things that can hold you and try to convince you you could never, ever be free. But I'm telling you today, if you decide to walk out of that prison cell, God will break you out. Amen. The power of God will come right where you are and break every chain. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will to do that. And you turn. That's called repentance. It's turning from the darkness to the light, the devil to Jesus, from sin and Satan to God. When you decide to do that, there's not enough devils in hell and not enough power of Satan to keep you from being saved. God will bring you out by His Holy Spirit. Praise God. And Christian, if you decide today that you're not going to play church anymore, that you're not going to just go to church and get your free ticket to heaven and live like the devil and call yourself saved and risk your eternal soul for the satisfaction of some sin of the flesh, listen, you'll regret that. You'll regret that for all eternity unless you make a decision to truly come to Jesus today. Now, I'm going to speak these words to you. I'm going to sound the warning. Amen. But God is the one that will draw you. The Holy Spirit is the one, is His agent. And when He comes, He'll convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And He has come to convict. That's the word that is in the Greek, rendered convince. We all know we've sinned, but He convicts us of our sin to bring us to the Savior for salvation today. Listen. The terrible future of those who reject Christ. Listen to it. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. It said, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sin." If we sin willfully after the knowledge of the truth. We receive that knowledge. We know it. You may have been raised in a Christian home and you've received the knowledge. You may have heard Billy Graham on television or some other minister declare the gospel of grace and you know it's there, but you still haven't responded by repenting of your sin, receiving Jesus as your Savior. That means we're sinning willfully, and the blood of Jesus that was supplied at the cross to save us is not applied to our life until we turn. And that's not a work. that saves us. Amen. This is how we get saved. Hallelujah. I do not believe that you can get saved just by reciting some words. Amen. Believing what the Bible says about this or that. Now, listen, you have to turn from darkness to light. You must repent of your sin. And repentance means 180-degree turn. It's you're going in one direction. You turn around and you head in the other direction. The moment you do, you have all of heaven's resources on your side. Hallelujah. To come to Jesus. There's a term out there now when someone's in deep trouble and they're at a turning point, in a crisis point, this could be your come to Jesus moment. Listen, there's great truth in that statement, because there will be in your life more than one of those come to Jesus moments, and you'll have to decide whether you're going to come to Jesus. Amen. Repenting of your sin. Because when you decide to come to Christ, you're going to turn from Satan to God. You're going to turn from darkness to light. You're going to turn from lies to truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. And truth will set you free. And Jesus will set you free. And God will deliver you today. Praise the Lord. Listen to this carefully. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, the Bible said, listen carefully, the Bible said there were those in the high religious orders that knew he was the Messiah. They knew, amen, that he was the Son of God. And yet, the Bible said they would not confess him. See, it would cost them their standing with the highest religious order, the Sanhedrin. They'd get kicked out. They would be ostracized by their families. They would be persecuted with Christians. And yet, when they knew him, the Bible said they did not receive him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Don't let your peers, religiously or out in the world, wherever the crowd you are running with that becomes more important to you, their acceptance than your soul. Friend of mine, it even astonished Jesus when he said, what would a man give? What would a man dare to put on the same level? What would a man give in the place of his eternal, immortal soul? What sin, what satisfying, gratifying sin of the flesh is worth dying and being lost forever? Listen, friend, if we continue to sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sin. The blood of Jesus cannot be applied if we continue to choose darkness over light, sin over Jesus, Satan over God. But listen where this would take us. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment. This is the degrees of punishment I'm talking about. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, who hath wiped our feet on the one who suffered and died for us. That's what we're doing in the face of that shed blood, that sacrifice, these 6 hours of torment, absorbing the wrath of God so that we could be forgiven. How could we possibly escape the judgment to come if we neglect such a great salvation and Savior as this. And not only neglect it, but knowing the truth about it, saying, I'd rather have my sin and my friends that I run with, amen, than I would rather have them than him, and I'd choose them over and over instead of him who died. I'm literally slamming the door in the face of God who is knocking and asking me to come and be saved. This is a serious sin today. The Bible makes it clear, this is the condemnation. This is the sin that will cause us to be lost forever. Light has come into the world. And who is that light? When did he appear? What did he do to bring light in a sin-darkened world? At the cross. Light has come into the world. Jesus has come, hallelujah, into this world, the Son of the Morning, praise God, Star of the Morning, Morning Star, praise God. And men love darkness better than light. They chose the darkness over the light. How shall we escape, the Scriptures say? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, hath done despite the Spirit of grace. Literally, one paraphrase says, to repudiate Christ's sacrifice, and are left on our own to face the judgment to come. In much preaching today, you'd think there's no coming judgment at all, and no eternal punishment of the wicked, no hell to shun, only a heaven to gain. But the Bible said, amen, that if we reject him who died for us, and God who gave his Son for us, there's a fearful looking, asking for judgment, and fiery indignation. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No one can fully appreciate what it means to be saved until we can fully appreciate what we've been saved from. Listen, as sure as the wicked are marked for judgment, the saved are sealed and marked, therefore, for mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, God's call to salvation is the greatest call that we will ever hear. How we respond to that call is going to determine where we spend eternity, because God will call us to eternal life. God will call us to be reconciled. God will call us to repentance by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But it's because it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Hallelujah. Because once we make that 180-degree turn from darkness to light, amen, the darkness can't, this prison of darkness can't hold us. These chains of habit cannot keep us from breaking free and going to God and coming to Christ. Hallelujah. Listen to Ephesians 1, 12 through 14. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. This word seal means to mark as one's own, a mark of ownership, a down payment on heaven. Praise God. I'm glad to be a Christian today. I'm glad that in the midst of all the chaos, all of the trouble, all the shakings that are going on, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Hallelujah. The Lord knoweth them that are His today. Do you want to be one of His? Are you one of His? Are you dabbling in the world? Are you dabbling in the darkness? Are you not following your Master? Are you not following Jesus in a fully surrendered life, denying yourself, taking up your cross in order to follow Him? Are we just a Sunday morning drop into church occasionally and go to the clubs and run with the crowd that is running away from God? Do you realize that Jesus coming could happen at any moment? And even if He did not come for 1,000 years, you're a heartbeat away from eternity. You're a breath away from eternity. Anything could happen. An aneurysm in your brain. You could be the safest driver. You could eat health foods, live a healthy life physically, in your body, oh friend, but just one blood vessel burst in your brain, an aneurysm occur, and you're gone. One heart attack away that could take you out of this world, along with all the other incidents and accidents. So friend, don't play with your soul. Don't play Rush. It's not even Russian roulette where they spin, you know, one bullet's in the chamber, you spin it and pull the trigger. Taking that chance, that risk. Oh, friend, how many have been killed and are being killed with one bullet in the chamber? This is every bullet in this judgment to come, every bullet is in the chamber. Every bullet, God is going to judge the wicked. He's going to judge those who have not applied the blood that Jesus so graciously and lovingly supplied on the cross. There's no way to be saved without the blood of Jesus. There's no alternate route to heaven other than Christ. There's no forgiveness from any other false god, and the true God will certainly not forgive. He stated it clearly in His Word. Without the shedding of blood, perfect, sinless blood, there is no remission of sins, no back door to heaven, no alternative route. It's Christ and Christ alone. So I urge you today, if you're a Christian, make a clear break with the world. Take up your cross. That means to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, and follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Express His lordship by following His example and giving heed to His word today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't just call Him Lord. Make Him Lord of your life. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your come to Jesus day. Maybe not because you're in a crisis. You may be. Maybe God's timing has arranged all of this. I don't know your circumstance, but if you're doing well, if your finances are fine, all of your physical body is doing great, and your family is doing great, your business is thriving, and all of your plans for the future seem so sure and so safe and so secure, this still could be your come to Jesus moment. Because if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're a breath away, a heartbeat away from eternity, and you're going to spend it somewhere. God has made a way, a wonderful way, through Jesus Christ, the gift of His Son to die on the cross. God wants you in heaven with Him forever. He does not want you to be judged, banished from heaven, punished in hell. He wants you secure. He wants you safe from the wrath to come. He wants you to live in the city He has built, Christ has built, for us forever, age without end. So come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when He comes, He won't have to decide, because you're already marked for mercy. Hallelujah. He knows them that are His. And you'll never hear Him say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." Oh, but He will embrace you. Hallelujah. And we will embrace Him. And we'll have a meal together to celebrate the beginning of eternity together in the New Jerusalem, age without end. In Jesus' name.